Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Welcome to Beyond the Press Release, a production of Goracom, in which we take the time to speak with small cap executives after they put out big news. Listen, guys, you've been following social media over the last couple of months. The big buzzword, the big new business model, has become engagement. And we're hearing that through Elon Musk and X, formerly Twitter, and X, because they're now rewarding users for engagement. So that's a big paradigm shift in social media. They haven't quite figured it out over at X. I give them credit that they're going down that road. It's a great progress. But even if they do figure it out, they can't figure it out for corporations. They can figure it out for individual users like me, but not for businesses. And that's where Game On Entertainment Technologies comes in. They're at the forefront of B2B tech, collaborating with industry giants, and they're pioneering Web3 games that are elevating fan engagement to literally unprecedented heights. So they're turning fans into super fans through engagement, retention, and monetizing audiences. And this is the future of super fan engagement. Now, more than just lip service, you're saying, maybe Matt and his team are just talking the talk. They're not walking the walk. Well, they've already announced partnerships with Karate Combat, one of the biggest fighting networks in the world. 10 million people watching, 200 million video streams every month. And their last KC40 set a record for draws in over 100 countries. Wait, but it gets better. Professional Fighters League, PFL, a partnership there. It gets even better. La Liga. We all know that the world's foremost, most followed soccer league, and all that is translating into real financial success. In 2022, they had their first $1 million year, according to plan, just like Matt Bailey, for the CEO, laid it all out. And then so far, Q1, 470,000, Q2, 840,000. So they've already shattered all of last year. Matt, congratulations. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Appreciate it. We're excited, but a lot of work still to do. So we've got the foot on the gas still.
Well, that's what I've always liked about you. You get these headline successes, and while most startup CEOs are parading those around, you're putting your foot to the pedal to the metal. I want to start with a quote because I want to talk about La Liga first, because that really has put you on the map around the world. Quote, the La Liga announcement signals a new era for Game On. We'll continue to garner meaningful relationships with major leagues and are confident we'll announce several new partnerships in the coming months. Let's talk about that. How big has the La Liga been news for you in terms of third-party validation and market positioning?
Yeah, well, I mean, if anyone's followed our news and followed me in our press releases and my webinars or spaces on X, there's no secret that over the last 6 months, we've really honed in and focused on our major league strategy. I've spoken about it again and again. And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes a big effort. We have to focus, let go of a client or two that weren't generating great revenue and weren't within that major league focus. And La Liga is the first part of that vision coming to life. That hard work over the last 6 months or so, leveraging our networks, reaching out to tier one sports leagues, and La Liga is the first one. But these deals take, two, three, 4 months to come to fruition, and there's various others in the pipeline, some in contract, some in negotiation, but many in the mature part of the pipeline. So we're just getting started as far as announcements go and announcing more tier one leagues to work with. Now, La Liga is great because not only are we able to talk about it and finally share one of the tier one leagues that we're going to be working with, but it also hyper fuels that funnel that I just mentioned. all of those leagues we're talking to see that press release go out, and it got picked up organically in so many different places. You know, everyone watching this probably is always thinking about, you know, financial news and stock market news, capital markets, but this got picked up in so many other places, like the Sports Business Journal, which is where everyone at the major leagues, I used to work at the Brooklyn Nets, right, in an office with hundreds of people. Everyone had the Sports Business Journal on their desk. It was, you know, like the Bible in sports business, especially if you're on the partnership side. So everyone reads that. My phone was getting hit by everyone, you know, leagues that want to work with us now, leagues that were in our pipeline and saying, let's continue this conversation. So from a business standpoint, you know, it's totally separate to the capital markets. It was just huge to be able to announce that and say we're working with this huge, big tier one league in La Liga. Exciting.
As a founder and CEO of our company here, I know how hard it is to get even in the door with those partnerships, with those big tier one global names, let alone close a deal. So congratulations. Now, there are going to be a lot of people watching this or listening by podcast for the first time because they're soccer fans. We're going to target them. We're going to say, hey, if you're a fan of La Liga, if you're a fan of soccer, you got to know Game On. In layman's terms, you and La Liga have kind of made a little history here. What are you guys going to be doing together? And let's try and explain this to people who are not fully immersed in, you know, in digital assets and things like that. What are you guys doing together? Why is La Liga partnering with you?
Yeah, so first of all, you know, when people talk about Web3 and crypto, we don't call ourselves a Web3 company. We're not a crypto company. And it kind of drives me crazy when people call themselves that, because you know, just because you're leveraging Web3 doesn't mean you're a Web3 company. In the same way that if you're in technology and you use AWS or Google Cloud, you're not a cloud company. So we're a games company. First and foremost, we are games people, and we're leveraging Web3 to provide the next generation of fantasy sports that we think is the best way to build fantasy sports. That's all you need to know about the Web3 side of the business. Now, what we're going to do with La Liga, as well as PFL and what we're doing with Karate Combat and any other partner we bring on board, is that we're launching the next generation of fantasy sports. It always starts with a playable version of the actual athlete. So digital card, like a trading card that you used to have back in the day. So it's a digital version of it. You can buy them and then use them in various types of games. Whether that's a fighter, a footballer, maybe we work with other sports in the future, could be a horse, a jockey, a wide receiver, quarterback, whatever it might be. But it always starts with these playable versions of athletes. You acquire a few of them. You can customize it and make it your own. You can change the jersey. You can buy gear and equip it with gear like sneakers, hats, energy drinks, all types of fun things that change the look of the athlete, so you can really make it your own, but also changes its stats and abilities in the game. So it's actually a strategic layer of gameplay. Then when the live games are on, when you're watching the matches or the games on TV, you're playing a fantasy gaming experience that is very similar to any other fantasy gaming experience that you're used to, except you're using these playable athletes that you own. They're yours, and you've acquired them in a very different way than you would in old style fantasy. You go up and down leaderboards. If they score a goal, make an assist, throw a touchdown, even if they make errors, you're getting points and losing points going up and down leaderboards based on the real-time events and the real-time stats and data and scores that are happening in the actual game. So that's the first game. The second game that we'll roll out is more of a simulated card battle game. So this is good for the off-season or in between the events, because it's not based on the actual live event and data. So this allows you to train your playable athletes just like you would a Tamagotchi or a Pokemon if you played those games back in the day. You can own a gym and keep your guys in the gym. They earn more points and the stats go up. Then you and I can go head to head in a simulated battle based on our stats and whatever. There's a winner and a loser. So both of those games combined kind of are very complementary, because you can engage during the actual live events and then in the off season, which is a huge problem for the big leagues around the world, because they lose that engagement. It goes up and then it's just down and dead for a few months. We can keep fans engaged during that time, all with these playable athletes that you acquire at the start of the experience.
And you've got reason to believe in its success, because Karate Combat League was the real first kind of real big partnership, and you minted more than 5,000 collectibles there. So is that kind of a harbinger for the success by several multiples, obviously, of what you expect to happen with La Liga, and how much will La Liga help to really drive this initiative?
So yeah, we that's exactly how we kind of planned it out. We wanted to prove it out with a league like Karate Combat, and with Karate Combat and even the PFL, there's huge upside to be had there with those leagues because they can really grow in multiples in a big way. So we're very excited about both of those leagues. But yeah, we can launch the exact same platform or a similar platform tailored towards the league with a La Liga, with any of the bigger leagues in the world, like the NFL, the NBA, the MLB. Now that we've proven it out with one partner, we can just quickly go to the others and launch in a matter of a couple of months, not a year or two or longer. So that was the game plan. You kind of hit the nail on the head there. And then, yeah, La Liga are fully committed to promoting this. We wouldn't do a deal if they weren't. So first of all, they're providing a bunch of prizes. So we're talking tickets, like VIP tickets, regular tickets, merchandise jerseys, signed merchandise, virtual meet and greets with La Liga legends, various types of prizes that allow us to really get fans really engaged and excited about playing. And then they are promoting it across all of their channels. So you'll see promotion on the LED screens on the pitch when the games are happening, emails every match day, social media campaigns every match day, giveaways and sweepstakes every match day, La Liga legend ambassadors promoting the product. So a lot of different promotional elements that give us an unfair advantage when we're promoting this game and give us a head start. We don't want to be building a soccer or football audience from scratch. We want to be tapping into that engaged audience that's already there and existing. Like you said, the most followed soccer league on social media. We want to hack that growth and tap into that.
Now, I want to talk about Professional Fighters League and Karateka a little more, but I want to switch gears just for a second because now I got people at home wondering, okay, this sounds cool. What does this mean? Another quote I want to read off from you. Q2 signals another record quarter for the company. As each quarter passes, our fundamentals consistently and significantly improve. This is achieved with intent. So not only setting records, but this was your game plan because you had said, I remember you said that 2021 was going to be the year of building, 2022, the year of selling and proving up minimal viable product, MVP, to prove that you got something. And then these next 3 years, 2023 to 2026, are the years of scale and profitability. So it's going according to plan. What can we look forward to? I know you can't give an exact projection, but can you give us an idea of what you think you're looking at for the rest of this fiscal year and then looking forward?
Yeah, it was with intent. The first thing, you know, obviously the last couple of years have been a tough market to operate in, and the half the battle is surviving, which a lot of our peers in the space haven't. They're not here, and that's kind of benefits us now when we're out there talking to these leagues. There's less of us around, which is great. But the second part is we didn't just want to survive. We want to thrive as well. So we found a way to do that. The major league strategy and going aggressively in that was a big part of it. And now that we're starting to bring these major leagues on board as official partners, we can revise our projections for 2024 and beyond, which we're currently doing with our new marketing director, who's come on board to really play a huge role there. And then we envision in the next couple of months, we will do a webinar and really give our first guidance on revenue and projections that we ever have. And we feel like we're able to do that now because of these major leagues that are on board. And we feel good about using the data that we have available from them, like their social media reach, their engagement, their broadcast viewers. So look out for that. That's something that we want to do before the end of the year for sure, and start looking towards 2024, because phase one of the major league strategy was acquire the IP. Phase two is execute that. And that's why I say the job's not done. You know, it's not good enough to just have the IP and put the logos on our website. We need to turn that into revenue and profits. So that's really what we need to turn our focus towards once we announce all of these new IP partners.
Is it fair to say, so awesome, first of all, that projections will come out sometime for the end of the year as you thoughtfully get through them with your marketing director and really give everyone a good solid idea. But is it fair to say that last year you did over a mil, this year in the first half of the year you've done over a mil, and that was before La Liga, which is, I don't know, 100 times bigger than Karateka and things like that, 50 times bigger. Is it safe to assume that projections should be for a lot, like significantly higher than what you guys have delivered so far in 2023, which has been great, by the way.
Yeah.
Record quarters. It looks like it'll be a big jump, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, in 2024, yes, because that's when the major leagues will actually start being monetized, and straight away in Q1. We will have a significant leap in 2024 from a projection standpoint, and we need to execute on it. But yeah, it's going to really catapult the business in a way that we've never seen before. So it'll be a multiple bigger than the years we've had in the past.
We've talked about Karate Combat League in the past, and I kind of made it part of our intro. We talked a little bit about it here, but you've surpassed 5,000 collectibles there. Let's talk about Professional Fighters League, PFL. And they just recently signed Jake Paul and Francis Ngannou. So this is a serious group, but not a lot of people know about Professional Fighters League. How big are they, and what do you do with them? What can we expect out of your partnership with them?
Yeah, I mean, again, similar to Karate Combat, we're really excited about the potential, multiple that we could see that league grow in the next several years. I think MMA is ripe for new entrants taking market share from UFC. We could see that in the athletes themselves are a little bit disgruntled. We're seeing a little bit of a will for these players to hit the market. These athletes go and see what else they're out there. That's how Francis Ngannou has ended up with the PFL. Jake Paul is a bit of a different beast, obviously, but the PFL have also signed a couple of great women like Clarissa Shields and Amanda Serrano, two boxers. Like some of the best women combat fighters in the world. So, I think the UFC obviously is still the big number one, but we're seeing competitors like Karate Combat, PFL. There's another one in Asia called One Championship, which really is big in Asia. I just came back from Singapore where they're based, and they're massive out there. So I think, it's an interesting time for MMA. We're going to see a little bit of disruption. That's why we're excited to work with some of these other leagues because, I think they're going to take some market share from UFC. And what we're going to do with them is the same as what I spoke about with La Liga. It's playable fighters. You'll be able to equip those fighters with different gear, like, maybe weapons, shorts, jerseys, whatever it might be that changes the stats and look and feel of the collectible. And then you'll be able to use them in fantasy games and simulated card battle games. So we're using the same platform, which means we can get it up and running in a couple of months and monetize. That's
tremendous. You're not custom building every single time.
Yeah, exactly.
And fan engagement is going to be critical for all these guys, right? Because as you start to get this division, it's not just UFC, you got Professional Fight, you got Karateka, maybe the one in Asia you talk about. Fan engagement is going to be really, really top of mind. So you're coming along at a perfect time, right? And they all know you, and you've already got PFL and Karate Combat League signed. So hopefully, does the pipeline look like it may have the likes of UFC? I know you can't say, but the likes of UFC or the Fighting League in Asia, for example, are they looking at you?
Yeah, I mean, we can say that they're both in our pipeline and both having conversations, met with them in Singapore. It's interesting because we are creating a little bit of while we're working with La Liga, aside from that, we've created this little combat sports niche. There might be an opportunity to, instead of having them all live in separate games, pull them all together in what would be like a so rare for combat sports, which is really interesting. So I'm not saying we're doing that, but that it could create that opportunity for us. So yeah, they're all in our pipeline. And to your point, it's the right time for this type of product because not only fan engagement broadly, but the new fan, the fan that's coming through, and I'm talking about the sports fan after me. Like I think I'm the last generation to sit down and watch three NFL games back to back all day Sunday. Like I'll do that. I'll do that. My wife hates it, but I'll do that passively. Okay. Gen Z won't. They will not. They don't want to watch even one game, but they're still sports fans. So they just consume sports different to you and I. They don't want to watch passively. They want to play the content. They want to own the content. They want to influence their content. They want personalized content. And that's why a platform like ours is so important, because if these big leagues don't activate in a way that these Gen Z fans want to consume sport, they're going to lose those fans to other sports like pickleball or drone racing league or esports. You know, they'll go and do and watch and engage in those leagues. So that's why it's so important specifically for Gen Z fan engagement. It's really important for games like this.
By the way, has Elon Musk and X with the sharing revenue and with users, the more you engage, the more you can earn, has that also opened up the appetite of big leagues like this, or saying, hold on here, there's something going on. So there's a new paradigm shift happening. Maybe they've always thought about it, but has that been a catalyst at all to getting, you know, big leagues, tier one leagues, and thinking about doing the same thing?
I don't know if X and Elon have had that impact, but maybe they have. I think it's more so over the last couple of years, a lot of these leagues approached our industry as just a cash grab opportunity. Hey, give me a couple million bucks, $5-10 million bucks, and you can do whatever you want with our IP. That has ended badly for a lot of these leagues. So now they're kind of rethinking how they approach this. Yeah. And they're saying, hang on a second, let's approach this from a product standpoint. Let's approach this from a digital initiative standpoint. Let's collaborate, not just take money off people to the highest bidder. And, you know, 2 years ago, we wouldn't be able to do these deals because, you know, Dapper Labs or Animoca or some of these other cashed up companies will come in and say, hey, we want that exclusivity. We'll give you $10 million and they'll do the deal. Not happening today. So, you know, luckily we've been able to come to the market at the right time where that's not happening anymore, where the leagues are looking to be more collaborative and we're getting deals done. So it's exciting.
Devil's advocate, I got to ask, Matt, listen, you guys are an incredibly bright group with incredible pedigree over there. But are there other competitors? You know, is GeorgeCom engagement coming along and they're also pitching their kind of fan engagement, fantasy, digital asset fan, all this? Are they doing the same? Is there competition out there? And there's always going to be somebody, but is there real competition out there? Someone who can really go toe-to-toe with you guys from a technology point of view?
I think like the main competitor that we're coming across in the market would be So Rare. But they're using the league's IP in a bit of a different way to us. They have their own B2C app and they're, you know, doing deals with, say, you know, the EPL or different soccer leagues and then putting it in their one app, which is almost like a FanDuel or a DraftKings, but for what they're doing. We're doing it a little bit differently, but when we're out there in the market, we're coming across them more than any others. But there's definitely room for both of us in the market, even to collaborate in some way, shape or form. So they're probably the one that I'd point to most. There are a lot that are kind of complementary to what we do. And a lot of people originally think that the knee jerk reaction is that we're competitive, but we're not quite. For example, Dapper Labs and, you know, Top Shot, for example, that's not competitive. So that's a highlight. That's a moment. And that's all it is. We're not doing that at all. In fact, we can give, just say we did a deal with the NBA, we could give Top Shots a utility in our game if we want to, for bonuses or power-ups or whatever it might be. So, yeah, I think So Rare is probably the one that we're coming across most when we're talking to leagues and trying to get deals done, but it's not necessarily something that we can't work around and mitigate.
You were just at Token 2049 in Singapore. Not most people watching this won't even know what that is. What was it, really quickly, but more importantly, why were you there?
So Token 2049 is a conference in Singapore where a lot of the Web3 and crypto minds, investors, technology companies, anyone in the industry is there. 10,000 people went to Singapore just for that. There was also another conference happening early in the week called All That Matters, which is a marketing conference that had not only a sports vertical, but had a music vertical, marketing vertical, media, and various others. So we spent the first half of the week at All That Matters meeting leagues, different leagues around the world, like One Championship, Saudi Pro League, and a FIFA, and a few others that were just there, which was really awesome. So that's where we were meeting our potential partners. And then we went to the crypto Web3 conference where we were meeting potential investors, future investors, backers, supporters, technology partners, more on that side of the fence. So it was a really good week to kind of marry those two conferences. I literally went straight from my honeymoon, boarded a flight from Italy, straight to Singapore. And after
she kicked you out already, huh?
After 6 nights there, Singapore. I was ready. Go to the other side of the world. I was ready for another honeymoon after that.
Speaking of meeting with investors and things like that, you also, a lot of people should know this. You recently closed a $1.8 million round, and that funding was led by Lightning Capital and Flow. Let people know why that's important to have them leading the financing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just based on what we're building. We really wanted to diversify our investor base and bring on more of a Web3 and crypto crowd to be that value add type of investor. Flow, obviously, that's the blockchain of Dapper Labs. We're working with them and met them in Singapore as well. Lightning Capital are a great firm based out of New York and Miami. So we really just wanted to diversify that, and those funds were specifically used to really hyper fuel that major league push, and we're seeing that starting to be executed now. So, I wouldn't say any other round is imminent at the moment. That's not why I was in Singapore for, but my job as a CEO is to always keep that funnel warm and be thinking about how we can finance the company in the future whenever we're ready or want to do that. So. It was a productive week.
Well, there's that great saying, capital markets, where they say you should raise money when you don't need it, because when you need it, that's when it's hard to raise money, right? So not that you're raising money, but it's always interesting to say that. Matt, awesome review here, especially because we just came off the summer. People want to know what's going on with the game on. Your stock has appreciated nicely. It was below 5 cents not too long ago. Now you're sitting at 16-ish, 17. In that range, and it sounds like the best is yet to come. As far as you can't control the capital markets, we know that. You can only control the business, the operation, and delivering shareholder value. And man, as someone who understands this space, you're doing it, and you're doing it really well. And congratulations to you, the team. Can't wait to have you back. Last word to you.
No, thanks, George. I appreciate it, and I'll see you at a game soon, right?
Yeah, hey, we're together at the fight in Miami, so we're gonna get together either a La Liga game, right?
You must be a good luck charm. So I'm gonna have to get you to a couple more events then.
Well, look, I've got to make sure I maintain this tan, right? Winter's coming in Canada, so if you get me out to Spain for a weekend of games, I gotta come.
Deal.
Thanks for joining us, Matt. Can't wait to have you back. And for everybody at home, you've been watching or you've been listening by podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, your favorite podcast platform, to Matt Bailey. He's a CEO at Game On Entertainment Technologies, trades in Canada under GET, G-E-T, for our friends in the U.S., G-M-E-T-F. For those new to the story, but you see the La Liga news or the fighter news, and you're a big fan of either one of those or both, and you want to know more about the company, get to the profile page on Agoracom, because there's a lot going on here, new tech, new business model. So we're trying to give you a 10,000-foot overview. And once you've got that, head over to the Game On website, do your due diligence. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over, but don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then, don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform, so you will never miss another one great Agoracom Small Cap Podcast.